Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Dark Psychology of Fascism, Cognitive Warfare, and How We Rebuild Resilient Communities, Families, and Children with Emotional Intelligence by C.E. Davidson Sibelli, Ph.D., examines how authoritarian movements gain traction by exploiting human psychology, social stress, and information environments. Framed around modern cognitive warfare, the book connects propaganda tactics, fear-based messaging, and identity manipulation to everyday patterns of polarization and distrust. Rather than treating fascism only as history or politics, it approaches it as a set of psychological and social dynamics that can reappear whenever communities are overwhelmed, isolated, or chronically threatened. A central theme is that resistance is not just institutional, but interpersonal families, schools, and local networks can become protective buffers when they cultivate emotional intelligence, healthy communication, and critical thinking. The book positions resilience as learnable and practical, offering readers a path from diagnosing manipulation to rebuilding trust, empathy, and shared reality. It is written for people who want both a warning and a toolkit for constructive action. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how authoritarian psychology takes root in ordinary life. One of the book's core ideas is that fascism is not only a political program, but also a psychological pattern that can be activated under certain conditions. It highlights how anxiety, humiliation, and uncertainty can push individuals toward rigid certainty, strongman fantasies, and simplified stories of blame. In this framing, the appeal is often emotional before it is ideological. People seek safety, belonging, and meaning, and authoritarian narratives offer those needs in exchange for obedience and hostility toward outsiders. The topic emphasizes mechanisms such as in group versus outgroup thinking, scapegoating, and moral disengagement, where harm is justified as necessary for the group's survival. It also explores how social environments shape these tendencies, including economic stress, community fragmentation, and loss of trusted institutions. The takeaway is not that people are inherently evil, but that certain pressures can make manipulation easier and empathy harder. By understanding the psychological hooks, readers can better recognize early warning signs in themselves and others, and respond with strategies that reduce fear, restore agency, and keep conflict from escalating into dehumanization. Secondly, cognitive warfare and the engineering of confusion. Another major theme is cognitive warfare, described as organized efforts to influence perception, decision-making, and social cohesion through information tactics. Instead of persuading through evidence, these methods often aim to exhaust attention, erode trust, and fragment shared reality. The book links this to techniques like repetition, emotional triggering, selective storytelling, and the use of misinformation or conspiratorial framing to create an atmosphere where people feel they cannot know what is true. When uncertainty becomes chronic, individuals may retreat into closed communities that offer certainty and identity, even if the claims are false. The topic also addresses how modern media ecosystems amplify these dynamics through algorithmic feeds, outrage incentives, and rapid spread of simplified narratives. A key point is that the goal may be less about winning an argument and more about disabling collective problem solving by making dialogue seem pointless. The reader benefit is a clearer map of how confusion is manufactured and why it feels so compelling. With that map, people can adopt habits that protect attention, verify claims, slow down reactions, and rebuild common ground in conversation. Thirdly, emotional intelligence as a defensive skill set. The book positions emotional intelligence as a practical defense against manipulation and authoritarian pull. Emotional intelligence here includes identifying feelings accurately, regulating stress reactions, empathizing without surrendering boundaries, and communicating needs without escalating conflict. The argument is that many propaganda techniques target emotional reflexes such as fear, disgust, anger, and shame. If those emotions remain unmanaged, people become easier to provoke and steer, and relationships become more brittle. By strengthening emotional skills, individuals can interrupt the stimulus response chain that cognitive warfare depends on. This topic focuses on recognizing triggers, naming emotions, and choosing responses that preserve dignity and connection. It also highlights that empathy is not weakness. It is a way to keep others human even while disagreeing, which reduces the risk of dehumanization. Emotional intelligence supports critical thinking by calming the nervous system enough to evaluate evidence. The book also underscores modeling children, and teens learn how to handle uncertainty by watching adults. Readers gain a framework for practicing calm, curiosity, and firmness, turning inner stability into a civic resource that protects families and communities. Fourthly, rebuilding families and communities as resilience infrastructure. A substantial portion of the book focuses on social repair. Resilience is not only an individual mindset, but also a network effect. When families and neighborhoods become disconnected, people have fewer reality checks, fewer sources of practical support, and fewer opportunities to practice cooperation. That vacuum can be filled by extremist communities that offer belonging with conditions. This topic emphasizes building protective environments through consistent relationships, shared rituals, and local engagement. It describes resilience as infrastructure trusted adults, peer support, school community ties, and intergenerational connections that help people process stress without resorting to scapegoating. The book suggests that healthy communities create room for disagreement while maintaining mutual care, which makes them harder to divide through disinformation. It also points to the importance of conflict repair, teaching people how to apologize, clarify misunderstandings, and restore trust after friction. For families, it stresses predictable routines, open conversations, and emotional safety as buffers against online radicalization and social contagion. The reader takeaway is that small acts of connection and service scale up into communal strength, making it harder for manipulative ideologies to recruit through isolation and fear. Lastly, raising children who can think clearly, under pressure, the book's applied focus includes children and adolescents. Treating them as both vulnerable to manipulation and capable of learning strong protective skills. This topic explores how developing minds interpret authority, belonging, and identity, and how stress can narrow thinking into black and white categories. It stresses that resilience is teachable through emotional literacy, media literacy, and guided exposure to complexity. Parents and educators are encouraged to help children label emotions, tolerate uncertainty, and ask better questions rather than absorbing viral claims. The book frames critical thinking as a social practice, not a solo activity kids learn to evaluate sources, notice persuasive tactics, and distinguish feelings from facts when adults model those habits. It also highlights the importance of secure attachment and reliable boundaries, which reduce the need to seek identity in extreme groups. Another emphasis is teaching civic virtues at a human level, such as fairness, accountability, and compassion, so that moral language cannot be easily hijacked by propaganda. The benefit for readers is a set of principles for raising children who remain empathetic, discerning, and grounded even in polarized environments, making them less susceptible to coercive narratives over time. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want to understand how authoritarian and extremist dynamics can spread through psychology, media, and everyday social stress, including parents, educators, community leaders, and anyone concerned about polarization. It also fits readers who prefer constructive responses over doom scrolling or constant argument, because it frames resistance as a blend of awareness and skill building. The most practical benefit is that it connects big societal forces to manageable actions, improving emotional regulation, communicating across conflict, and strengthening local relationships that make manipulation less effective. So, by treating emotional intelligence as a form of civic readiness, the book offers tools that can improve personal well-being, family stability, and community trust at the same time. Compared with similar books that focus mainly on political history or abstract theory, this one stands out by emphasizing cognitive warfare and everyday resilience practices, especially around children and family life. It encourages readers to move from diagnosis to rebuilding, showing how small changes in attention, conversation habits, and community involvement can compound into stronger social immunity. For readers looking for both warning signs and a path forward, it is a worthwhile purchase. If you would like to support C.E. Davidson Sebelli PhD, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.